Good morning, everyone. At the G20 summit in London, they call it an agreement. What does Barack Obama call it?
By any measure, the London summit was historic. It was historic because of the size and the scope of the challenges that we face and because of the timeliness and magnitude of our response.
Well, it will remain for world markets to sort out what the response was, whether it is sufficient. Barack Obama described it as necessary. Dan Price joins us now. Once again, he's a former assistant to President Bush for international economics and was the representative of President George W. Bush in handling the G20 financial summit last November. Dan is currently a partner with the law firm Sidley Austin. He joins us from London. Dan Price, thanks for coming back to the program.
Good morning.
You know, let me start right away with something that came up. Maybe it's a bit arcane. I'm sure you can help to explain it to us. But there was a lot of talk. Gordon Brown made the statement, but there was a lot of sort of sorting out of what was he talking about. The Washington consensus on deregulation and free markets is over, according to Gordon Brown. And Barack Obama was asked about what this means. And here was his answer.
I think that there's always been a spectrum of opinion about how unfettered the free market is. And along that spectrum, I think there have been some who believe in very fierce regulation and are very suspicious of globalization, and there are others who think that it's always that the market is always king.
Dan Price, you can hear that Barack Obama is dancing around this a little bit. But first of all, what's your belief in this Washington conception or Washington consensus? What's it all about and has it really broken down?
Well, I'd say a couple of things. When people talk about the Washington consensus, they refer to a body of opinion largely shared by the developed world in the post-war period, in the middle of the last century, as to what the key elements are for economic growth and prosperity. I don't exactly know why Prime Minister Brown chose to say that Washington consensus is over. It's got nothing to do, I don't think, with anything particular in Washington. But if you look at the declaration, you still see the affirmation of the importance of pushing back against protectionism and free trade. You still see the important recognition that regulation is essentially an exercise of national authority. Yes, by all means, it needs to be coordinated. There needs to be cooperation in doing our regulations. We need to avoid regulatory conflicts or regulatory protectionism. But there is nothing in the declaration, wisely, to suggest the substitution of a single global regulator.
Well, Dan, let me provide an alternative explanation for what Gordon Brown was saying. It seemed to me what he was saying is that thank goodness we're not being lectured to once again by the American GOP neocons. It seemed to me that's what he was saying. Now, inappropriate or not, it seems that that was a very deliberate statement on the part of the British Prime Minister.
Well, I think it may have sounded that way to some. I don't know. I mean, you'd have to ask him as to what he meant. But he was referring to really a historical concept. And frankly, I didn't interpret it, and I hope others didn't, as targeted to a particular administration or, frankly, a particular party.
All right. Well, Dan, then let's look at what seems to be a curious contradiction that we all witnessed yesterday. If this sort of Washington consensus is breaking down to some extent, and leaders like Gordon Brown are suggesting that America maybe isn't as much of a leader as was the past, you still have Barack Obama supremely standing up above all the other G20 leaders yesterday. So at a moment of more consensus or less American authority, you've got supreme authority and popularity on the part of Barack Obama. That seems like a contradiction to me.
Well, it's interesting. There's no doubt about it. President Obama is a very popular figure globally, and frankly, deservedly so. But let's remember that the idea to include broadly representative nations at the global summit began last November. It was President Bush's idea to convene leaders to address the financial crisis that collectively represented more than 80% of global wealth and had a very strong voice from the developing world. That process continued and I think was enhanced at this summit, which I think was quite successful. And I think there were some very concrete deliverables coming out of this summit, including, importantly, the decision to enhance the resources of the IMF, and in particular, the commitment to enhance trade finance, to make credit available to get trade flows going.
Do you think Doha will be restarted? The Doha process will be restarted as a result of what happened at the G20 summit. The idea of a world trade body has really been discredited over the last 3 or 4 years. But is this a chance to restart it?
Well, I don't really think it's been discredited. Certainly, the Doha negotiations have proven quite difficult. I think the globe is coming around to the view that just as the recovery can't be done on the backs of any single economy, so too you can't really have a global trade agreement unless you have the major emerging economies as well as the developed economies making significant commitments. So I'm hopeful that the meeting and the language on protectionism in the declaration does provide renewed impetus to reaching agreement on a comprehensive WTO trade deal.
All right. You suggest that George W. Bush was the initiator of the idea to bring the emerging nations into the G20. Did they get anything out of this aside from more resources for the IMF? I mean, did Brazil and India particularly get anything out of this?
Oh, I think the major emerging markets got a lot out of it, as did developing countries. Remember, the real task of this meeting was to gather the leaders representing most of the world's economy, the vast majority of it, and to express concrete political will and commitment to restart the global economy, to fix the financial systems, to begin the process of regulatory reform, and provide needed assistance to the poorest. So I would say there was something in this for everyone. And many of the major emerging markets are particularly dependent on exports. So the commitment to push back against protectionism and helpfully to put the WTO and other international bodies in charge of monitoring that countries honor those pledges, I think that was very positive for all.
Dan, this is Femi Okeh here. President Obama is getting rave reviews for what he did at the G20. Any other world leaders actually getting a good bounce off the last couple of days? Gordon Brown from the UK was very highly visible.
Yes, I think this has been very positive for Prime Minister Brown. He and his team, I think, did an excellent job arranging this summit and negotiating a consensus text that, while importantly reaching consensus, did not lower the bar of ambition. So I think it was a successful summit for Prime Minister Brown. I think it was a successful summit for the U.S. administration. They came into this meeting with a very strong hand, having the week before proposed their own plans for strengthening the U.S. financial system, for dealing with impaired assets, and having laid out a broader regulatory reform agenda.
Dan, so, quickly, let's talk about Angela Merkel and Nicolas Sarkozy. Did they score any points here? And give us a last word on the U.S.-China relationship. That was the big headline going in. Seemed a little quiet and muted coming out.
Well, a number of the continental European leaders had focused on a couple of issues that were significant to them, in particular the issue of tax havens, which, you know, while important in the scheme of things in terms of restarting the global economy, fixing the financial system, are a little farther down the priority list. But I think they got what they wanted on that. And so I think it was successful from their perspective as well. As you asked about the U.S.-China relationship.
Very quickly, very quickly.
It's very strong, very important, and it's very clear you cannot solve global problems unless you have the U.S. and China in agreement.
And more to come. Dan Price, former assistant to President Bush for International Economics, partner with the law firm Sidley Austin. What does Obama say about all this?
In life, there are no guarantees. In economics, there are no guarantees. The people who thought they could provide guarantees, many of them worked at AIG, and it didn't work out so well. So there are always risks involved.